on this 21st day of January 2022. And tonight we have the man behind the board, the lord of the board, pushing the buttons, Lenny.
Hello, Pastor. Good evening.
There you go, Lenny. And back in the boiler room all by himself. All by himself in the boiler room today, we have that rascal Randy. But he says he can handle it. He can do it there. And so we have a lot of confidence in him. And you heard the cackle. That's right. That's little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All righty. One of these days, I'm going to have them turn your mic on, Lisa. All right. All right. Go on. Get out. Get out. Get out there. No. Also, folks, on the other side of the window in the studio, fooling around with the equipment is Jimmy the Greek. I don't know what could happen. Anything could happen in there. You could hear an explosion tonight. Who knows? But I'm sending little Lisa in there to kind of keep things in control. Oh, by the way, we have my, being Friday night, my two honorable men of stature, a men of understanding of the times we're living in, none other than, let's see, who got first last week? Last week it was McTernan. So to this week we'll go with John Holman.
Good evening, Pastor Ernie, and Lord's blessings, everyone.
And chaplain extraordinaire, John McTernan.
Well, Pastor Ernie, thank you very much, and God bless you and all the listeners. And what has you in such a good mood?
I think I'm losing it. There you go.
Losing it.
No. You know, 2 days in a row, I forgot to take my Prevagen. And see, that's the problem. If I was taking my Prevagen, I wouldn't forget to take the Prevagen, because when you're taking the Prevagen, it reminds you to take the Prevagen. But I haven't taken the Prevagen, so how would you deal with that?
Well, it sounds like you're saying Prozac. Is it you haven't taken
Prozac? No, Prevagen. Prevagen is what...
I know.
All right. My Prozac days.
I think it's forget me medicine. Is that what it is?
Listen, if things don't get better, I'll just go take the shot and get it over with. No.
You better give a little bit of that.
All right. Okay. Only kidding, folks. We're, I'm going to tell you.
Day of the year.
Yeah. Those shots are terrible, terrible things. We just got to, heard of another case today where someone close had their family member take the shot and died pretty quick. Anyhow, the title of the message was Understanding the Rapacious. The Rapacious. Do you know what the Rapacious is?
Well, it sounds like you're saying the rapture.
Well, that's the root word for the rapture. That's the root word, okay? And did you know that, there are people that have different opinions and definitions of the rapture. And so I recognize the Bible. I recognize, too, my definition of what the actual rapture is. And I find out that in the Bible it teaches, in my definition of the rapture, the rapture of the church age saints and the rapture of the tribulation saints. And those are the two. Now, there are seven different times in Scripture where other people refer to a rapture, even though it's only, for example, in Acts chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, the ascension, when Jesus was taken up. They call that the rapture, that Jesus, because he was taken up, he was raptured. Well, I mean, if that's what you want to call it, go ahead. I don't care. In Genesis 5:24, when Enoch was taken out, they call that a rapture. In Elijah, in 2 Kings 2:11, when Elijah was taken out, he was called a rapture. Okay. Oh, yeah, I know. I got to stop, because this is Pledge Week, the last week. And I'm depending on you guys. I'm depending on you guys to really put on a sensational program tonight and help me. We got to raise this. My last night, I've got less than 2 hours. I've got about an hour and 40 minutes to finish off this week. It's the fifth day. And so I really depended on you guys not to let me down. Anyhow, 888-281-1110. Folks, the phone lines are open, 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Okay, now Wendy has pledged $400. Thank you, Wendy. All right, so folks, you gotta keep it going. This is it. This is the last stretch. We need to get it in. So anyhow, so I was telling you that remember in Revelation 11:11, Moses and Elijah was taken up. And then you've got the 144,000 saints, Revelation 14. And then you got the martyred Gentiles in Revelation 7:9. So, McTurnan, do you refer to those all as raptures, or how do you refer to them?
Well, very interesting, Pastor Ernie. I never did refer to them as the rapture, but I'm like listening to you, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, they've been caught up into heaven. That can be a rapture, yes.
All right, but you know, all through Scripture, you've got where it's types and shadows and specifics. Now, for example, you and I, we're apostles. We're apostles by the definition of an apostle, but we are not one of the apostles. We are not one of the apostles. You and I, we're sons of God, but we are not the sons of God. We're not the Son of God. In other words, we are, there's only one begotten Son of God, but we are sons of God, but not the Son of God.
Well, and Pastor Ernie, the easiest way to explain what you're saying is that we are the adopted sons of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. But Jesus Christ, from eternity past, was always the only begotten Son of God.
Right, absolutely. So now, but then they say, well, Pastor, the word rapture is not even in the Bible. Now, therefore, there can't be a rapture. And all you guys, now, this is common among the patriots talking about that there are those of us that say, we don't have to do anything. We don't have to stand up. We don't have to fight back. That is not us. Here, I can tell you that. Because we're going to be raptured out. Well, yeah, we are going to be raptured out. We're going to be talking about that, but we don't take that stand. And one of the things they always say is, all right, we had Diane in Arizona pledges 100. Thank you, Diane. Okay. And so one of the things that, you know, we see, there's a lot of words that are clearly explained in other positions, clearly described in the Bible, but the word is not found. In other words, what about, do you see here the words pre-trib in the Bible? No. Mm-hmm. What about the word Trinity? Have you found that anywhere in the Bible?
No.
So let me ask you, does the Bible clearly describe a Trinity?
Describes yes. Godhead. Yes.
What about what about omnipotence? Do you find any place in the Scripture where it says omnipotence?
No.
Yeah, in the book of Revelation, Pastor.
In the book of Revelation, it says the word omnipotence is used?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I missed that. What about omnipresence?
Yeah, hang on. Let me get into the book of Revelation. I think it's in chapter 11.
I know it's all powerful. Oh, you know what? Come to think of it, I think you're right. Omnipotent. The all-powerful, omnipotent God. Maybe you can find
it. I know it's in the book of Revelation, Pastor Ernie. I know it is.
All right. Well, what about, let's just say it is anyhow. What about omniscience? Do you find omniscience there?
other than about God being, you know, that kind of describes him all-knowing and knowing the end from the beginning and things like that.
What about Bible? Do you find the word Bible in the Bible? I mean, it's on the front cover, right?
Yeah.
So then, even though those words aren't found, we do know that clearly those positions are clearly described in the Bible, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know, people use those words because it's a shortcut to describe a doctrine.
All right, so here's what we got to do. We're going to pick it up now. We've been talking about the rapture of the church age saints, the rapture of the church age saints, and we're going to finish that with Titus 2, 11 through 15, and then we're going to take a look at some of the tribulation saints. So you guys go to Titus chapter 2 and read me 11 through 15.
All right.
Okay. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men,
teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world,
looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ,
who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works.
These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
Okay, so let me ask you this. Okay. The Bible teaches that Jesus said he is returning, looking here for the Lord's appearing. He's returning for those that are looking for his return. He's coming back for those that are looking for his return. So what do you think? Do you think that you can be saved, born again? Because I know some people that I'm pretty sure they're saved, born again believers, some pastors that have changed their positions on the tribulation period, have gone from pre-trib to mid or post. So do you think that if they're not looking for his return, then they'll be left here during the tribulation period, even though they're saved? What do you think?
No, they won't be left here. No. Well, as I see Scripture, according to the way I, you know, read Scripture, we're all going to go at the same time. You won't go because you're holding a wrong position on the time of the rapture.
So you think even if they're not looking for his return, because it says
said they were thinking they were going to go through the tribulation, I think. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So do you think that...
Well, does that by definition mean that they are not expecting Christ to return to earth?
They're not expecting him to come back and take the saints out before the tribulation period. But that's what the Bible teaches. I mean, it teaches pretty clearly that the church age saints are going to go before the tribulation period.
I'm going to let John handle this.
Yeah, he knows about everything. Right. Go ahead, McTurnan.
It's my birthday, so.
Yeah. Is it really?
I didn't forget. No, yeah, I didn't forget. No, I did not. No.
Okay.
But anyway, now here, Pastor Ernie, is the answer. You ready?
Yeah.
And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and the voice of many waters, and the voice of a mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth.
Revelation
19. Yeah, I found that. I knew it was in Revelation, Revelation 19:6.
Okay.
Omnipotent. Now, Pastor Ernie, that's a little tough question what you're asking, because the Bible does clearly say he's returning for them that are looking for him. And you can, I don't want to like wiggle out of that, but you can be looking for him, but not necessarily like the way you properly should do with the rapture, you know? So in other words, people can, I believe in Jesus Christ coming, and he's going to come at the end of the tribulation period, and we're going to be taken up with him. Or I don't even know the ins and outs of all that doctrine. I don't know how they explain that, what happens.
Well, let's go now. We just, I went from in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58, 1 Thessalonians 1, verses 9 and 10, 1 Thessalonians 5, 9, 11, 2 Thessalonians 2, 1 through 12, and we just did Titus here. That all had to deal with the church age saints, the rapture. Now we're going to go to Matthew 24. Let's go to Matthew 24. And this is the tribulation saints. He's speaking to Israel. He's speaking to the Jews here, and he's speaking to Israel. But we know that the very first Christians were Jews. The ones that were the first people to receive Christ were the Jews. So start in verse 24, Matthew 24, start with verse 23 and read all the way through 44.
And if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe him not.
For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall shew great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Okay, hold it right there for 1 second. Craig in Michigan pledges 100. Linda in Brooklyn pledges 100. And Eleanor in Michigan pledges 100. Folks, 888-281-1110. I hate to interrupt scripture, but we have, again, about an hour and a half left. 888-677-9673. So we really got to hear from you. But go ahead, fellas.
I think you're up, John.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah. Behold, I have told you before.
Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not.
For as lightning cometh out of the east, and shineth even unto the west, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken.
And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from the ends of heaven to the other, from one end of heaven to the other.
Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh.
So likewise ye shall see these things, know that it is near, even at the door.
Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled.
Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away.
But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only.
But as the days of Noah were, so also shall the coming of the Son of Man be.
Whereas in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah saw entered into the ark.
And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also be the coming of the Son of Man be.
Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken, and the other left.
Two women shall stand grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left.
Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come.
But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up.
Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh.
Okay, so here now we see a couple of things. He's telling you when he sees, and we shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, all through Scripture, the clouds are referred to as the saints. The saints are referred to as clouds. Now, would that fit in when he comes back in Revelation 19? You see him leaving heaven, and he's leaving heaven up on with his army. He's going to leave the four categories of the saints are going to be with him. And do you know what the four categories of the saints are? We'll test them, folks.
Well, the saints that are during the church age.
Okay, well, you have four categories of saints. Actually, the first time a saint was referred to, it was angels. There's going to be four categories of saints he's coming back with. One is angels. Then you have the Old Testament saints. Then you have the New Testament saints. And have what you just hear, the tribulation saints, as he gathers from the four winds the elect of heaven, okay? And so he's going to... So he's coming back with them, and we see here that he's leaving in Revelation 19:11. We see him leaving heaven and coming back with the saints. And then we see him in Zechariah 14. We see him returning to earth in verse 5. And you shall flee to the valley of the mountains, for the valley, and reach into Azazel. Yeah. You shall flee like you did from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come with all his saints with thee. With all his saints with thee. So here we see him returning with a fat. And this is the end of the tribulation period. And those he gathers that. That's the rapture of the tribulation saints. We'll be back right after this.
Well, the preacher went a-huntin', it was on Sunday morn. Was against his religion, but he carried his gun along. Well, he shot himself a mighty fine quail and a great big beastly hare. But on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. Well, the bear walked out in the middle of the road. Still higher till I couldn't climb.
preacher start to pray, you can hear 4 miles around. Oh, Lord, you delivered Daniel from the lion's den, also Jonah from the belly of the whale, and then 3 hated children from the fiery furnace, so the good do declare. Lord, oh, Lord, if you won't help me, please don't help that bear. Well, they fought the way down. Was it doing all right? Well, they got down to the river. It was 3 times in and out. The bear got up and he limped away. You should have heard that preacher shout.
All right. Yeah, Lord, if you're not going to help me, please don't help the bear. I think that's fair. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
All righty. Listen, we got a prayer request. So I'm going to give this one to you, John McTernan. We had in New York, a lady just called us from New York, and she's pretty upset because one of her police officers was killed and another was wounded. And he's asking us to pray for their families tonight. So would you pray for the families of those two police officers? They got ambushed.
Oh, I didn't hear anything about that, Pastor Ernie.
I think it just happened.
Oh. Father, we're before you in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, there's a tragedy there about the police. And, Lord, one police officer was killed, so... we're asking you to comfort the family, Lord, friends, co-workers, comfort them, Lord. The other is wounded. And Lord, we're asking for your healing virtue with that wounded police officer. We ask that you'll bring him through this, whatever it was, Lord, and restore him. And Lord, it's just a part of anarchy that's really starting to cover the land now. So we're praying for mercy in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right. Amen. Why don't we pray for the deceased police officer?
Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. So he either went to heaven to be with the Lord, or he's waiting now in hell for the white great white throne judgment.
So the last verse that John Holman read was verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. And so what he's telling us to be ready, isn't he?
Yeah.
Okay, so between now and exactly this time tomorrow, are millions of people in this world going to die?
Yeah.
Most of them, do they expect to die?
Probably not.
Nope, but they're going to die, right? And so, and this is why we spend so much time giving out that salvation message, is you have to be prepared because, well, a whole lot of people are going to run out of tomorrow's tonight. And so when they hear the preacher give an invitation, is that coming from the preacher, or is the preacher just a messenger?
is a messenger pen for me.
So we're just bringing the message from God's word, telling the people you need to repent or perish. That's what the Lord Jesus said. Did he stutter at all?
No.
Nope. Repent or perish. All right, there you go, folks. That's the main. Listen, you'll never hear anything on this radio program or any other that will mean as much to you as when you hear that salvation invitation. Am I right, fellas?
Amen.
Okay, everything that we're going to talk about today is going to be forgotten, okay? But Jesus said, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. Is that true?
Yeah, we have his word today. We have his word today. It's like living proof that it doesn't pass away.
So there you go. So what we're trying to tell folks is we're going to talk about a lot of information tonight. But again, like I say, it's going to be forgotten. But the time will come when the only thing that will matter to everybody listening to us tonight is their standing with the Lord, right?
Amen.
Amen. Is there any more important message that we could possibly bring to the people?
No, because it's eternal life, Pastor Ernie, and eternal death.
There you go. You said it exactly right, John. All right.
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, Brother John's going to laugh at this, but I like Cracker Barrel restaurants.
Yeah.
And there's a local one here, no more than 5 minutes from my house. And Saturday morning, the assistant manager was there. They were opening it. They opened the restaurant up, and she was inside, and the waitresses were coming in. And this guy assaulted one of the waitresses right at the entrance to the Cracker Barrel, and the manager went out to help the waitress being assaulted, and the man shot her and killed her right there, Pastor.
So,
and that I'm hitting home about what you're saying. She woke up in the morning, went to work as usual. 34 years, she was a grandmother. Had the paper said I think three children and somewhere around three or four grandchildren. She went to work like she's been doing for 34 years, and out of nowhere this happened, and he shot her in the chest and killed her. And then the police tracked him down. There was a shootout, and he was killed.
Okay, so we see in the Bible, we see the Lord telling people, get your house in order because we're going to take you home. You're going home. And so we see very clearly, the man, remember the rich man who had all of the grain, had such a good season, and he had all this extra food. Now, he could have taken that food and given it to the poor and hungry, but he wasn't going to do that. He said, no, I'll hang on to it till the price goes up, and I'll make more money and become richer. And what did the Lord tell him?
He was due.
He said, your soul is required this night of you.
So then we see examples in Scripture. So as far as the time of our departure, then we see very clearly that that's not our call at all, is it?
No.
So is God surprised by it? What about people who say, well, I think I'm going to go out and commit suicide. Is God surprised by that?
God's not surprised by anything.
All right. You guys are pretty smart. So with that.
I want to add one thing. We talked about looking for the blessed hope, and, you know, that is so important to believers. And, you know, that is like the anchor that keeps you stable, and you should be anxiously awaiting the Lord, like the bride would be waiting for the bridegroom, and that keeps us stable, and that's so important. I can't stress that enough, that people be looking and anxiously awaiting for the blessed hope.
I've had a number of people get upset recently and it's because of Russia expelling ambassadors here. I think they expelled a bunch of ambassadors here from the United States. And in times past, in some, before there was a war, that would be the custom to expel the ambassadors and send them home before you went to war. That didn't happen with Japan. Their ambassadors were right here, meeting with the president when they went. But anyhow, because of that, there are people out there that are kind of in a panic, thinking that, well, and they're saying Russia's going to nuke us. Russia's going to nuke us. Okay, I don't think Russia's going to nuke us. I really believe that this country, those people we have in the White House, will surrender first. But John, tell us why. What is happening with the Russians and the Ukraine? And tell us what we really should think about all that.
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's very interesting that you bring this up. And I have on my blog, John McTernan's Insights, and almost every day I'm reporting on what I call wars and rumors of wars. And so I'm somewhat of a little bit of an expert on it because I'm following it from various sources.
I knew that. Go ahead.
Yes, Pastor Ernie. But I am. I can't make heads or tails on what's happening. What is happening right now is Joe Biden is saying everything on one hand to like provoke Russia, and on the other hand saying, well, you can take a little bit of the Ukraine and we won't do anything about it. The Ukrainians are losing their minds, the government and the people, about what Biden is saying and doing. Putin, right now as I speak, literally the entire Russian army is converging in Western Russia. It's centralizing, and it's called Belarus, which is like right next to Poland. It's centralizing right head on with Ukraine, and it's centralizing the Crimea. Its navy is coming from all over the world into the Black Sea. They're moving train after train load of tanks, artillery, their air force. I mean, Putin has got his army right there for war, Pastor.
Now, that once they become members of the UN, we were going to put in nuclear missiles there in the Ukraine?
Yes. Yeah, see, now, here is the core of what's happening. In 2008, the Ukraine was told that they were going to become a member of the NATO. And then there's been all sorts of talk that we are going to move our advanced nuclear missiles into the Ukraine that literally will put it like less than 10 minutes, these missiles from Moscow.
I have to jump in for a second. All right, we have Misty and Miss B in Cleveland just placed 400, folks. So 888, listen, we're running out of time. We've got 1 hour and 5 minutes. 1 hour and 5 minutes left. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. And we are $3,400 short. We're $3,400 short of our goal tonight so far. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We're trying very, very, very hard to stay on the station that you're listening to us on right now, folks, all over the country. And it's very difficult. We don't have sponsors, because if we had sponsors, we wouldn't have them long. The opposition would go after them like they've tried to do in the past. They've even gone after MoveOn.org, and others have gone after Salem, trying to get Salem to cancel our program. But we're still here by God's grace, and God's in control of that. But we need to hear from you to continue. We really do. And it's 888-281-1110. Don't forget, we've got that red book, the Bible Answer Book for All Occasions. That book we have, folks, for any donation of $25 or more, you get that book. It is next to the Bible. It is next to the Bible. the most important book to me, because it talks about every topic. When you have a question, it takes you right to that topic in Scripture. And it is really good, and it's used by a lot of pastors, use that and for a very good reason. But anyhow, don't forget, if you haven't got the red book, and if you have got one, don't you think you know someone who could use it? It would be a perfect birthday gift or Christmas gift or whatever. James in Michigan pledges 100. Thank you, James. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. All right, I'm sorry, John. Pick it up where you left off, my friend.
Yeah, well, the Russians have made it clear, Pastor Ernie, that they will use nuclear weapons if necessary. That's their battle doctrine. And they've got it in writing. And Putin and Biden says, well, where nuclear weapons are off the table. Now, no one wins in a nuclear war. But if Russia's willing to use them, that gives us pause, you know? So we're at this point now where the Russian army is concentrating around the Ukraine, the entire army. And NATO, we don't hear anything about NATO, concentrating. We don't hear call-ups. We don't hear them saying they're going to protect Ukraine. Now, why would we want to get in a battle over the Ukraine, Pastor Ernie? Why is Biden and Obama before him? Now, Trump never did this, but Biden stirred up the Russians over the Ukraine. Biden, as soon as he came into office, he was a month in the office, and he's already talking about the Ukraine and protecting it from Russian aggression. And we didn't have one problem with Putin like that when Trump was in office. So there's something going on that's very confusing. It's not adding up, but it seems like the New World Order and NATO want a war with Russia. And I don't know if it's to surrender to Russia, Pastor Ernie, like we did with Afghanistan. I mean, Biden might just say, okay, you win, that's it. And another move towards weakening us, strengthening Russia, strengthening China, strengthening the terrorists. So this is very hard to read for me. After studying this virtually every day, it's very hard to read, Pastor Ernie.
Well, you know, you see the handwriting on the wall. Look, he's weakening our military. John, who would make the very best soldiers? Soldiers that would stick to their guns and their beliefs, hold fast to it, or those that will just go along with whatever they're told to do?
Well, Pastor Ernie, what's happening, no, you're right. You're right. And that's, they've gotten rid of them, but also they're promoting and the transvestites and homosexuals, transgenders, you name it, they're destroying the morale of real soldiers. So, yeah, they're weakening America in every which way. So the idea, it looks like, after all the bravado, that we're going to surrender to the Russians and let them take the Ukraine.
One third of the Navy SEALs have said that's it. They're out. They're not going back because of the poisonous poke. 30,000 Marines have refused to take it. So they're saying, okay, you either take the poison or you're discharged. Now, these people are people that have principle. And so people that have principle and morals and values and integrity, those are the people that make the best soldiers, are they not?
Absolutely. And they don't want them.
No, they don't. No, they don't want them. And so the Chinese are boasting, the Chinese are bragging, saying that they're killing American soldiers without firing a shot. And they're by using the poisonous pokes that you know, is giving these guys that myocarditis, these young soldiers and troops, not just them, but athletes too, they're dropping dead, and they're having permanent heart damage. And so here, I believe what will happen if they keep provoking, and then they could say, okay, we just surrender. Milley would come out and say, There's no way we could win a nuclear war. We've fallen behind. We don't have the technology. They've got this and that. So we're going to have to surrender. We can't afford. That's what I believe they're going to do.
Pastor Ernie, there's wild cards in this. And the wild card is the East Europeans are, from what I'm reading, are going to stand against the Russians. That's the Polish, Lithuanians, Estonia, they're all of NATO, Hungary, Romania. They're furious at what Putin's doing. They're threatened by him because it wasn't long ago the Russians had them as slaves under communism. It's more complicated than what Biden may do, because those countries may act on their own against Putin. Now, this is really dangerous. If you look on the map, there's a little bit of Russia that's on the west side of, it's trapped, it's landlocked. It's not, it's part of Russia, but it's not attached to Russia. Do you know what I'm talking about, Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
The name, just to, you know. And apparently, from what I'm reading, if the moment the Russians move against Poland, against Ukraine, Poland's going to move against that section of Russia. Lithuania is going to move against it. Hungary's going to move against it. And then all bets are off, Pastor Ernie. This thing here isn't just like us saying, okay, go ahead, take the Ukraine. There are serious ramifications for these other countries, because they want no part of Russia. They want Russia dealt with. And if necessary, they're going to defend themselves against Russia, because they think Russia is not going to stop with the Ukraine. So this has the real possibility of, yeah, we can do our surrendering, but the Poles and Lithuania, Hungary, Romania, Bulgaria, they're not.
Does anybody win with a nuclear war?
No one wins. Pyrrhic victory.
So there you go. And if Russia...
Pastor Ernie, yeah. Here's the thing. Where, and I want you to back me up on this, because people might think, McTernan's going off the deep end. When we're dealing with the New World Order, we know what they want, and they want population disorder, the deduction. That's what the death shot is about. And they want to reduce the world population down to, 500 million. That's in their writing.
Right.
So a nuclear war to them may be just up their alley, Pastor Ernie.
Well, but...
Pastor Ernie?
Yeah.
Can the New World Order control Putin?
No, I don't think so.
No, they can't. So one way to...
He threw them out.
What's that?
Putin.
So they have
threw them out.
They have to deal with him. They can't pull a Trump on him, because Putin will just destroy anyone that comes to him. He'll take him out. Trump couldn't do that here.
No,
basically the communists have pretty much taken over here, and they destroyed Trump with their plan and all their plants here in the nation, but they can't do that to Putin. So they perhaps are looking to have a war destroy Russia, and at the same time accomplish population elimination.
Well, let me ask you this: if there appeared to be a serious threat of war, would that be considered a crisis enough to cancel elections?
Yeah, absolutely, Pastor Ernie. Oh, yeah. They'll call martial law.
Do the Democrats know that there is no way that they could win a fair and honest election? They know they could not, win an election that's an honest and fair election, and they know that things are looking really bad for them. And so they know they have to do something. They're getting desperate, aren't they?
Yeah, and that's why this is very dangerous, Pastor Ernie. What we're seeing manifesting is very, very dangerous. Soros, if Soros was to show up in Russia, he's going to be arrested.
Not just him, but Gates, too. And Gates would be given the death penalty in India and in Africa. They're out because of what he's done.
The members of the Italian Parliament have taken the case about Gates to the World Court. They want him tried for murder, violating all the vaccines, all the people that died in Africa and India because of him. They want him taken to the and tried before the World Court.
Do we know that if we do have
Pastor Ernie, that's all suppressed here in America?
I know that.
What I'm saying, the average American has no idea that Gates, who we see there on NBC and CBS and MSNBC, that if he shows up in, they want him as a war criminal in Italy. He was brought up on the floor of their House of Representatives, that they want to put a case together and bring him to the World Court.
And that's why we're here, because you're not going to get that in any of the fake news media. All right, Carol in Arkansas pledges 200, Danny in Detroit pledges 100, and Nancy in Wisconsin pledges 50. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All righty, we're coming up to a break, fellas. When we come back, we got to change course, because we got a whole lot of stuff we got to cover tonight. When we get back from the break, I got to make a fast announcement, and then we got to have to move very quickly. And maybe we'll open the phone lines, take some calls. What do you think?
Sure.
All right. We can't. It's pleasure.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. TheWordCleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.